Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may grow as discerning people who are also able to lead in our own vocations with discretion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount, that's in Matthew's Gospel, we hear these words spoken by Jesus to his disciples, to us. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We human beings, we are born into, we live in, we die in communities. And the fact is that for communities to cohere, there must be leadership. There must be people who speak to us authoritatively and who even have power in certain circumstances to use force against us if we break the rules of the community. The sad fact also is that those who exercise power in this world, at least some of them, present themselves to us as being as innocent as sheep, as harmless as sheep. But in fact, they are wolves, or like wolves, who prey upon us, who want to get from us our money, or to gain prestige from us, or some other worldly good. And it's not only those who exercise political power who can act in this way, but also those who exercise spiritual power. And Jesus warns us as his disciples to be on our guard. Beware, he says, of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, the good news that I'm proclaiming from the gospel today is that Jesus gives us the true model of what right leadership is, and that we grow in our ability to discern true from false prophets as we get to know Jesus. Not simply what Jesus' teaching is or what Jesus has done, but what he has done for us. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. He's the good shepherd who took up again his life for you. Do you want to move from naivety to wisdom, or from cynicism to hope? Then listen to the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Now let's listen again to how the reading begins. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Let's pause right here, because the first thing to note is that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. You might think when Jesus is saying, "I am the good shepherd," he'd be speaking to his own disciples, or that he'd be speaking to the crowds. But he is speaking to the Pharisees, those who exercise some form of spiritual leadership and authority over God's people. Now, while Jesus could be very critical of the Pharisees, they were not all what you could call bad guys. So, for example, in John's Gospel, the most prominent Pharisee is Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night and asked him questions, and the one who, in Jesus' death, with Joseph of Arimathea, took reverent care of Jesus' body. So Jesus could be critical of the Pharisees, but also recognized the authority they did have. And it's to this group that he's speaking, to people who exercise a form of spiritual leadership. Now, Jesus also calls himself the good shepherd, but we could ask also up front, good in what sense? Well, the Greek word that's used here and translated into English in our translation as good has also other overtones to it. You could even say it's not primarily about moral goodness. You could translate this that Jesus is the beautiful shepherd, or that Jesus is the attractive shepherd, or indeed Jesus is the model shepherd, the one who presents to us, in other words, a good, yes, but also a beautiful and attractive and a model example of true leadership. Notice also that I'm suggesting that Jesus, in talking about himself as a shepherd, is talking about himself as a leader. Now, it's good for us to start with the basic imagery of this text, and that's what I did in the children's address. Jesus as a literal shepherd. And we have this wonderful window at the front of our church to help us meditate on this truth. And of course, in Jesus' day, shepherds knew their sheep well. They literally knew them by name. They personally guided them out to pasture and brought them back again into the sheepfold in the evening. If you were to think about Jesus in this way, that's a good scriptural way to do it. And in meditating on this imagery, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be led in wisdom from God. But it's also good for us to know that behind this imagery of the Good Shepherd are texts from the Old Testament, which make it very clear that shepherd imagery is leadership imagery. So, for example, if you read Ezekiel 34 or Jeremiah 23 or Zechariah 11, you see chunks of scripture in which the leaders of God's people, are referred to clearly as shepherds. You can even think of King David, who was literally a shepherd and then became a shepherd of his people. Leadership among God's people is especially being spoken of here. Jesus is the true leader, the good shepherd. Now, even if we don't have this Old Testament background in mind, the text itself makes clear what it means for Jesus to be a good, noble, and model shepherd. This is what he says. The good shepherd, the noble shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. This is where the beauty and nobility of Jesus is seen, in his willingness to lay down his life. Now here we are at the heart of the Christian faith, and we deal with a reality that is beyond human reason, that includes human reason but goes beyond it. Pause here for a moment. Just talk about something else. I've watched talks by the prominent journalist and book writer, Christopher Hitchens. He was a bit of an atheist, you could say, to put it mildly. One of his most famous books is God is Not Great, and he writes with a certain fiery and indignant charm. Maybe you've seen him talk or read his writings. If not, just get the picture. His book is God is Not Great, and this is what he wants to persuade people of. In his way of thinking, and I think I understand him correctly, God can't be great because of the manifold suffering in this world. Who of us here, who of us in this church, could bear to read at any length a description of a little child who suffered terrible abuse? It's too much for us. That's for one child, let alone the sum total of human and even animal suffering in this world. If this is how it is, what reality is like, how can God be great? In Hitchens' point of view, God is in fact like the commandant of a concentration camp or a tyrant over this whole world, someone like Mao or Hitler or Pol Pot. It's worth thinking about this critique as Christian people and taking it seriously. Okay. What tyrant, what commandant would lay down his life for those under him? Self-sacrifice is not the mark of tyranny. Self-sacrifice is the mark of true leadership. And this is who our good shepherd is, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, the one who lays down his life for you. In this world of suffering, we see beauty shine forth in the one who enters into our path, who indeed lays down his life. Now, Jesus goes on to make more clear what true leadership is, by contrasting it with mercenary leadership, with power that's exercised simply for worldly gain. This is what he says. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, whose sheep are not his own, you could say, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. The hired hand is only in it for the money. So when danger comes, the prudent thing to do is to flee. Now remember here that Jesus is speaking to people who are exercising a form of spiritual authority, the Pharisees, and he's raising a question to them. Why are you doing this? Why are you exercising the authority that you have? Much of Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees has to do with them making a pretense of piety for worldly gain, making long prayers ostensibly to God, but actually to impress their hearers. I'm a godly person. You can trust me. You can trust me with your money. This attitude shows its true colors in the face of opposition. When false teaching comes, people are exercising spiritual authority only for gain, flee and leave God's people to be attacked and divided. Jesus then goes on to give another example of how he is the good shepherd, the true and noble leader. Listen to what he says. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, on the one hand, we could say this is about personal connection. Personal connection that happens when true leadership is exercised. To the tyrant, the underlings are a faceless mass. Think about the quote from Stalin. Oh, the death of one man is a tragedy. Of a million, that's a statistic. That's the attitude of tyranny. But a noble, a beautiful, and a good leader knows individuals by name. And they know their leader. There is a connection. But something more is going on here. For a start, Jesus says this, I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. There is something, in other words, in our relationship with Jesus that finds its basis in the relationship that the Father has with the Son, that the Father has with Jesus. In other words, it's not just about knowledge of facts, although this is important. It's a living relationship where there's a knowledge that goes deeper, where there is trust. Listen to what Jesus says. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The great Lutheran theologian Philip Melanchthon said, to know Christ is to know his benefits. To know Jesus and to be known by him is to live in the trust that he laid down his life for us, that he lives for us, and that in him we find the fullness of the grace of God. Let me put it straightforwardly to you. In Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, you have the fullness of forgiveness of sins from God. You have one who has not tyrannized you, but shown his true leadership by laying his life down for you. You have the one who reconciles you freely to the Father. You have the one who has taken up his life and lives for you. And as we hear elsewhere in Scripture, intercedes for us, for you, at the right hand of God. This means that you are free, truly, to know Jesus and to be known by him. You know, the best way to discern counterfeit money is to get to know real money well. The best way to know false from true leadership is to get to know true leadership well. And as we learn from Jesus, as we let him serve us as our good shepherd, as we follow him as he calls us, we mature as Christian people who can discern good from evil. I here in this community am called pastor. It's a scriptural term for my role. Pastor means shepherd. And indeed, you could say, I am an under-shepherd of the true good shepherd, Jesus Christ. But all human beings are weak, and all will at times fall. Even St. Peter, in the trial of Jesus, denied three times knowing him. But in the resurrection, Jesus three times asked Jesus, do you love me? And three times he commanded Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So let's live in humility as we hand on God's word according to the vocations that God has given us. Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent. Maybe you're working somewhere or working underneath someone. You have in your own way authority, even a form of spiritual authority given to you by God. As you grow in discernment, you can know well how to hand on good things from your Lord. Let's also beware that wolves come to us in sheep's clothing and that we ourselves can be tempted to wolfishness. And let's stand our ground in the places where God has put us. Let's follow our Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep and who lives and who reigns with the Father and the Son and the Spirit, I should say, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus.